this well-known but also tragic story of the young man who went away sad from Jesus because he had many possessions reminds me of this book, The Great Divorce, written by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was Christian author, most well-known for writing the Chronicles of Narnia. But The Great Divorce is an allegory of the afterlife, of heaven, hell, and purgatory. And he describes it as kind of this neighborhood, and there's a bus that takes you to and fro, and you have to walk through this large forest, it seems, to get to the other side, not sure of what's there. And he speaks of this ghostly man who appears very weak, doesn't look very strong, he walks about very slowly, and there's a lizard, always on his shoulder. Nobody's ever seen him without the lizard. The lizard is always there telling him what to do, and he usually listens to what the lizard tells him to do. Doesn't seem to be able to help it. So as he's wandering through the forest, an angel comes to meet him and simply says to the man with the lizard, "May I kill it?" And immediately the man gets very defensive. He says, "Well, I've had this lizard for a long time, and he kind of helps me. He tells me what to do. So I don't think I can let you kill it." The angel simply asks it again, "May I kill it?" He says, "Well, no, I mean, I've kind of become fond of him. He's kind of a friend. I know he kind of tells me the wrong things to do sometimes, but I'm kind of comfortable with it. I can't really get rid of him." Finally, the angel tells the man, "You cannot go any further with the lizard. I have to cut it off. May I kill it?" Finally, after much thinking and pondering, finally says, "Yes, I will let you kill the lizard." You know, takes the sword out and cuts the lizard off. After much pain, the man wails, kind of crumples to the floor, seeming almost dead. The lizard also flops off of him and shrivels up. But then slowly, he comes back to animation and back to life, it seems, much stronger than he was before. Not looking emaciated and weak, but looking like a strong man. The lizard, too, doesn't stay dead, but actually comes back as a large horse. And the angel tells the man to get onto the horse and ride towards the light, presumably to go encounter Christ in heaven. Now, for C.S. Lewis, this parable, this story of the lizard, was really symbolic of the sin of lust. That in our earthly desires, we often cling to them and listen to them, not being willing to let them go. But in order to be in a true union with Christ, to be connected to God perfectly, we have to let it go. But I think that story drives home the point that Jesus is seeking to make, not only for the young man in the gospel, but also for his disciples. That I don't think this gospel is really primarily about earthly riches or possessions. It certainly applies to that. Jesus says that pretty directly. But at the heart of that is Jesus saying, you cannot trust anything more than me. You have to be free of all of those attachments, of all of those possessions, to not allow those things to have power over you in order to be perfectly united with me. So I think when it says the rich young man went away sad because he had many possessions, it's not just that he had nice things that he enjoyed. He couldn't imagine not going back to his house to play his Xbox or something. I don't know. But it's because those material things had taken possession over him. He didn't know how to leave them behind. Similarly, for all of us as disciples of Christ, we actually have to be willing and able to give up everything to follow him. We may not literally have to in this world, but I think that's why Jesus goes through this long list of things that we may have to give up. Right? No one has given up house, brothers, sisters, family, children, or lands for my sake and the sake of the gospel will not receive 100 times more. This isn't Jesus saying that we need to place some sort of metaphorical bet at his poker table in order to receive more back from him. But he's saying we have to be free. We have to be detached. To not allow anything to have possession over us, but actually to believe that we find our ultimate fulfillment in him. that, like the man in the great divorce, we have to be willing to recognize whatever the lizard that speaks to us is in our hearts, and to actually willfully tell God that we would rather follow him than listen to that. That we would be okay with him cutting it off in order to be united with him. Brothers and sisters, I think that's why the church says that we have to practice not only prayer, but fasting and almsgiving. Those three things we traditionally hear about during the season of Lent, that penitential time of preparation for the great holy days of Easter. That we do extra prayer, that we maybe give up something that's not good for us, and that we abstain from meat on Fridays. But the church says we should actually have a regular practice of fasting and abstinence. That we give alms regularly so we don't have this attachment to earthly possessions. But instead they can be something that we have and use, but also that we're willing to let go of. That if God said, like the angel said to the man with the lizard, may I take all of it? We might reluctantly say, I'd rather not, but Lord, if that's what it takes to follow you, then yes, I will. If he would have to take all of our relationships, our friendships, our family, again, not that we want that to happen, but that we would be detached enough and trust in him enough to say, Lord, I want to be with you more than any of those things. Because the reason I love that part of the Great Divorce is I think it highlights that purgatory and our pursuit of heaven isn't something that we wait for. Hear about purgatory as a time of purification, and we might think that it's a time to undo whatever we did wrong here on this earth, that somehow God in his grace will kind of fix it. But again, if we look at the story of Jesus, Jesus never makes the young man follow him. He doesn't force him to give up all his earthly possessions, but he simply invites him. He invites him into this relationship, and then the young man has to choose. The young man is free to do whatever he wants, to trust in his earthly possessions and cling to them, or to cling to that relationship with Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's how I often think of the purification of purgatory. It's really almost an extension of our lives, that we're tested and tried until we're able to say, Lord, I will trust in nothing but your love. That I don't need any of this stuff from earth. I don't even need my friendships and the love that we shared on this earth. But all I need is you alone. For you will give me what I need. For nothing is impossible for God. I think that's what our gospel calls us to today, to be willing and to seek out ways to be free of those sorts of attachments, to be free to say yes to God in every moment. And I think that's why regular abstinence and fasting is so crucial for us as Christians. That again, it's not just something imposed on us during the season of Lent that we kind of begrudgingly do, but we actually seek out regularly giving up good things. Not just things that might lead us to sin, but things that are truly good that we might enjoy. And be able to say, God, I will say no to that out of love for you. That I want to say no to this attachment, this earthly thing, so that I can hear your word more clearly. So that I can be possessed by your wisdom, as we heard about in the first reading. That prudence will be given to me, not following my desires and my instincts, not following what the world might say and those around me, but listening perfectly and quietly to your voice. To hear your word that cuts like a two-edged sword, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. That's how our practice of fasting can actually change our hearts and unite us more perfectly to our Heavenly Father. Not just as a form of discipline, but really as a step in the spiritual life. To be free to say yes to him in any circumstance. So brothers and sisters, let us be challenged by the gospel today. Challenged to recognize those things that we might be attached to. Might be wealth and earthly possessions. It may be something totally different. Maybe our own control. It may be technology, it may be a certain relationship. And in all those things, to be able to say, Lord, help me to choose you over that thing. Maybe not that I have to give that up completely right now, but that I can fast or abstain from it in certain ways, that it won't hold on to me and enslave me as the riches of the young man did for him. Instead, help me to receive your love, to be free to follow you always, free to hear your voice and say yes to it. Because brothers and sisters, that's the path to eternal life. That's the path that will lead us to perfect union with God, so that we can enjoy his peace and joy here on earth, but also be drawn into those joys that he wants to give us for all eternity.